is going to relieve the people of their burden, their heavy burden. And he's going to take from them the yoke, the slavery that they had been bearing. So what kind of liberator is this? An educator. He shall liberate with the tool of education. And peace be upon him. That's why he said, the ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr. He made teaching more valuable than getting out there fighting with iron, steel swords and things. He said, the ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr. And he himself was not educated.
God made him wise, taught him the book, gave him the book, and then taught him the logic.
Jesus is a sign of this, as I said earlier. And the Bible says that Jesus was sanctified. And the Bible says that Jesus was taught and made wise. By who? Bible doesn't give any teaching for Jesus except God. He's a sign. He's a sign. Prophet Muhammad said, and in the end they shall see me and Jesus together. That's his prophecy. He said, in the end they shall see me and Jesus together. Why? Because Jesus is a sign of every prophet. And for certainly he's a sign of the last prophet. A sign of how God reaches a man with the right heart, with the right makeup, reaches a good man, and makes everything possible for him. Makes everything possible for him. The right state of heart, the right spirit in you, opens the door for all great things from God. Jesus is a sign of that. Yes. Jesus didn't get it all, but he was a sign of that. For he said, I teach you now in parables. But there's one coming behind me who will teach you in plain language. That's what Jesus said. He didn't himself fulfill all that. But that one coming behind him must come in the same human disposition, the same spiritual state. I saw a picture once, I forget the name of it. But this fellow was a good fellow. He had a good heart. But he kept on coming back to jail. And the same old hard warden, officer in the jail, I forget this title. He had to meet him every time. And he said, hey, so you got a problem of attitude. Hey, you got a problem of attitude. Just had a bad attitude. And that's spirit, isn't it? Yes, spirit. Attitude. Because see, in one level of the spirit, or the soul, soul has spirit. Soul is one thing, but soul has spirit. On one level, there is concern. There is concern. Now, when our concern becomes so excited, you excite my concern, and that excitement is going to form in me a disposition. I'm going to have to form a disposition to deal with that excitement. So above concerns come attitudes. Right? Yeah, attitudes. See, you work up concerns and pretty soon you got attitudes. Your child starts off just being concerned about you talking down to him. Starts off just being concerned. And in the quiet of his mind, he probably say, I'm a human being just like he is. I'm just smaller than he is. If I was big as he is, he wouldn't talk to me that way. He'd be saying that. You can't hear him now. Right? Now, when his concern keeps stirring in his heart and mind like that, that's that's going to generate an attitude. After a while, you see him, he got more than a concern, he got an attitude. So God, he says the same thing to us that we say to each other. Hey, I'll talk to you when you get rid of that attitude. Right? Yeah, we say little bad child is keep insulting us and disrespecting us. Say, hey, I don't want to have, no, I'm not going to even talk to you about it. I'll talk to you when you get rid of that attitude. But God, he doesn't talk to us that way. He just let us fall off the cliff. And some of us get right up after falling off the cliff. Leg broke, arm broke. Somehow we get our members back together and the arm and leg working again. And we just go ripping and running off the cliff again. Yes, he shall teach them the book and the wisdom. All right. You know the term in Arabic, fiqh, fiqh, is called jurisprudence. But actually it comes from a simple word which means insight, to have insight. And one who has that fiqh is one who understands complicated matters. If you're talking about complicated matters or complicated issues, and you say, he yafqa, he understands means he understands that. He understands that. But that's an understanding that one has because of insight. There's one Western philosopher. He said, not philosopher, in fact, yes, he's a philosopher, all right, but he's known more as a builder. What's his name? Lord Wright. Frank Lloyd Wright is his name. He built homes, the home right down there near the Chicago University that he built. He built a lot of homes. Outside, he put up buildings outside of Chicago, too, in different parts of the United States. And he said, the wisdom is not looking at something, but looking into it. Looking into it. You see? Well, that's insight, isn't it? And I heard one gentleman, he said, well, you know, that's 2020. Hindsight. You see, I got all kinds of sights, right? I was on a job with one man, and he was talking about his problems that he had as a worker. He said, and in retrospect, that's looking back. There are all kinds of ways of seeing, right? Yes. And the Bible says and there was a beast that came up on the land, and he had eyes all over. So you can see all which, every which way and still be dumb or bad. Yeah. Have high sight, foresight, and circumspect, and everything else, and still crazy. So it depends on what's happening here in your heart, right? Yeah, that's where it's at. Now, so he shall teach them the book and the wisdom. All right, let's come to something now. Tawheed, oneness, unity. More than anything else, the prophet stressed two ideas or two principles. One is this, the unity, the oneness of God and the unity of his creation. That's one. And the other that he stressed many, but these are two that stand out more than any other, is the relative importance of things seen altogether. And that's the way he taught people to respect God. You know, many people say they believe in God, and people just, after a while, God just become a word, right? God just become a word, that's all. We lose the meaning. We get away from the real respect. God just become an empty word. So he got them back to the respect, proper respect for God by telling them this. Things are to be seen in their importance, in the order of their importance. Now, you say God, But you give all your attention to something other than God. You say, God, but you're yielding to pressures and powers other than God. So he brought it to their attention here. You were giving the leper the attention and obedience that the greater deserved. So what was his powerful philosophy? He didn't do it. God gave it. In fact, it was in the scripture before, but Prophet Muhammad brought it out to the front. He said, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. When he went to battle, that's what he said. When he had to go to battle with his enemy, his battle cry was, Allahu Akbar. What did that say to those men who speak Arabic? See, we don't speak Arabic. We speak English. We just learn Arabic, and we get a little bit of it. So Allahu Akbar means God is greater. God is the greatest. You know, we just learn a little something. But that word to the Arabic-speaking people, what was he saying when he said, Allahu Akbar? What was he saying to them? He was saying something so broad, it touched on every part of their life. If the man that heard Allahu Akbar was worrying about how his wife was doing back home, while he was getting ready to go into battle, when he heard Allahu Akbar, he said, God is more important than my matter back home. The businessman that was worrying, who will take out care of my business now? Who will protect my children if I die here? I won't be able to go back to my... When he heard Allahu Akbar, he heard God is more important than the matter that's bothering you right now. And if you truly believe in God, then you agree that God is more important than anything you can think of. There's nothing that can come in your mind or your heart that's more important than God. That's what Prophet Muhammad worked on. Powerful philosophy. Powerful psychology. From God it came. God is greater. Now, I have come to believe, from the study of this religion, from the pronouncement of Allahu Akbar to the last, peace, peace. Isn't that what we start with? We start with Allahu Akbar and we end with peace, peace. I have learned from the study of this religion that this Allahu Akbar is not just a cry for us. It is an education. It is enlightenment in itself. Whenever you're going to tackle something, whenever you're going to approach a matter that is difficult or that calls for a great amount of understanding or energy or whatever, whether it be a problem in the classroom for a student, or a problem for you on your job, or a problem for an executive in his office, or a problem for me as an imam, first thing we should do is put things in proper perspective regarding the order of importance. Don't you know most of us fail because we can't put important things first? We be working like hell on something that's secondary, missing the main point, trying to operate a business and not paying the taxes. The government got more power over your business than you. They close you up, make you move out of town. It's because you wouldn't turn in their money. Right? They're collecting money. 8 cents or whatever, 7 cents, sales taxes. They be just collecting the city's money and putting it in their pocket and buying popcorn and cherries and hamburgers and stuff with them. They're eating it just like it's their money. And that's why you see the sign on the door saying, going out of business. And when they give you your bill, it just blots out your mind. It blinks. So you haven't been counting. You haven't been figuring. They know you haven't been figuring. So they say, what do you think it is? Say, well, they owe about $1,000. Okay, tell them they owe $20,000. You haven't been counting. You don't know. You have no books. You have nothing. You're crazy. You're business insane. Right. Yeah, you business insane. So they gave you that big old bill. I heard a man, he said they got us about $60,000 tax. I said, what kind of tax? He said, sales tax.
I say, how in the world you make that kind of money in this little business you got? But he can't prove it because he hasn't been keeping records. So they're going to get him for $60,000. But then one day he had gone into the business and said, look, this is my business now. Before I open this business, let me put first things first. Let me accent those things that are very important, so they stand out before me right away. And you start putting things in the order of their importance. And you keep them daily before you in the order of their importance. You don't come in the office this morning and attend to something way down the line of importance. You look and see what's highest on the line of importance this morning. Tend to that first. Then the next one. Then the next one. You might miss some today. But if you miss that big one, you'll be in a lot of trouble next week. So don't bother about that small one. Take care of that big one first. Allahu Akbar. All the way down the line. Isn't that a powerful philosophy? Certainly it is. It's a powerful philosophy. A powerful philosophy for us, so we'll be able to deal with the matters of life. God is most important, but whatever we got before us, those things too can be established based upon the order of importance. You can put things in proper perspective and deal with them according to their demand on us. And it's the fool that ignores the demand of important things, important matters in his life, and go and give his attention to something of lesser importance. Go out this weekend and spend $500 on a girlfriend or somebody you want to make his girlfriend, and he owes $500 tax. That's a fool. But they do it all the time, don't they? I knew a fool. He used to come around and just take all the cash out of the cash register, all the big bills. And all he wanted to do, just take them outside. He'd ride around his big car all day long. He operated a business. And he knew when the money's supposed to be there. He'd come in there and get all the big bills, okay? And then he'd just go around the different stops, seeing his partners, his buddies, and his friends, and the women doing this. Showing them what he got. It lasts about 2 years. I don't know how he made it that long. And not another year he was in jail. Yeah. See, when you're that sane, you're subject to become criminally insane instantly. Yeah, because when you face reality, you can't deal with it. Deal with it. Say, hey, I can't live like this. Isn't that what they say after they counted all that big money? And it suddenly is gone. Yeah, I can't live like this. I'm going to stick up. I'm going to kill somebody. And they go out and do it. They were crazy to start with, and then they got criminally insane. Yeah. So look. These two ideas. What is more important? And then look at what you're looking at. Look at it and try to get some understanding about it. Try to understand what you're looking at. You look at a person's life, try to understand what it is. Never see a thing separate from the other important thing that ties it together or that link it. Everything you link to something. So you look at a human being, and you can start building up an interest in that person. Building up an interest in that person. If you build up an interest in that person, seeing only that person and not the thing that that person is tied to, you're in for trouble. See the thing that person is tied to. That person has a devotion. Whether it's a devotion to God, a devotion to a pimp, or a devotion to a mother, or a grandmother, or a child, our friend, everybody got a devotion. Some of us got a devotion to idleness. We just got to go and give idleness all of our time. Right? Yeah, you see. They said, oh, he ain't got no occupation. Everybody got occupation. Hell, he ain't got no occupation. Everybody got occupation. Ain't nobody unoccupied. But some people can be occupied by just nothing. But don't say he ain't got occupation. He got occupation. He spends all his time at nothing. So don't look at the person and just see one person. See what's connected to that person. And when you see him devoted to idleness, and you don't want to go that way, don't get involved. Just say, hey, I was interested, but hey, see you later. You know, I thank God for the kind of intelligence that my mother and my father, and I guess the home environment and the people I was around, helped create for me. When I was a youngster, I had a lot of the tendencies that all these other youngsters got. Pretty girl all got my attention and still do. They still do get my attention. When the pretty girl stopped getting my attention, I'm going to stop thinking about myself and try to figure out what went wrong with Razuddin Muhammad. That pretty girls are not getting his attention anymore. A pretty things get my attention. I'd be a pretty girl, can be a pretty car, anything. Anything pretty gets my attention. Now, I'm not going to see it because I know how I can get into trouble. But anybody say that man around talking about, oh, no, look at how pretty a woman is. She don't bother me, she don't move me. He's either lying or his mind has gone wrong. Something wrong up here. See, that's what I love about this religion. God doesn't punish me for being natural. God punished me for putting myself in bad ways. Now, if I see a pretty girl and I start looking at her and feeding that and following her up, now God's going to punish me for that. But if I look at that girl and say, wow, God ain't going to do nothing to me, that's natural. But I'm going to say, wow, and then don't look back. Look back, now they're asking for trouble. Unless I want to pursue her, get married or something. If I don't have that interest, then I'm in for trouble. And it beats me to watch these old men. Now, I'm 50, and I see men out there, they can't hardly walk. I saw one the other day. He was walking like this. And a pretty girl came like this.